I'd like you to think of a garden. Not my kind of garden, with the tomatoes here and the cucumbers there, and that water-sucking demon of a watermelon back in the corner. No, think of a different garden. A natural garden. Long grasses here and there, maybe yarrow, creeping thyme, butterfly bushes, and fruit trees. It's got to have fruit trees. Because for years, federal prosecutors around here demanded tiny fruit trees with easily accessible branches. You know why it has to have fruit trees? Because of the low-hanging fruit. A city and a garden must have the low-hanging fruit for federal prosecutors to pick just a few feet off the ground. It's easy. Just reach up there and grab a few. Urbis and Horto? City and a garden? Chicago? What's Illinois' motto again? Odorant dum metuant. Let them hate as long as they fear. Or is it silentium est consensus? Silence is consent. I don't know. What about my favorite? Shut up and take it, you chumbalones. I can say it in Greek. Skase ke parta, chumbalones. But not in Latin. Does it really matter, though? Anyway, the main thing is low-hanging fruit for federal prosecutors. Because for years, they loved low-hanging fruit, and fruit has many forms. Some greasy little aldermanic fruit holding his or her hand out for greasy bills in a greasy envelope. Yeah, you remember the guy who said, leave it in the envelope. If you've been around here for a while, you know that the greasy little alderman thing. You know that kind of fruit. Or the tall, skinny alderman, like former 20th Ward Alderman Arenda Troutman. Yeah, she went away too, after announcing that aldermen are hoes. But a strange thing happened in the garden. The gardeners, and by this I mean the Chicago office of the FBI, the IRS, Criminal Investigation Division, and the U.S. Attorney's Office, stopped bothering about the low-hanging fruit. They didn't want some low-hanging fruit hoes. Instead, they had their friend Rico drive that big federal bus right into the orchard. He got out a ladder and put it under the large fruit tree with the best fruit up high. And he started to climb. Climb, Rico. Climb. And almost every day in the papers, especially in the Chicago Tribune, but also in the SEIU Times, perhaps even in Chicago Insider, Elsie Higginbottom's Chicago Reader, but I wouldn't know because I don't read it after the hit job's on me, you can chart Rico climbing up the big tree. Alderman Danny Solis wired. Now former State Senator Terry Link wired. And you know he has friends, and they say how you doing all the time. How you doing in Rosemont, guys? So no more hanging fruit. They're climbing up after those Madigan apples on the high branches. Oh, those Madigan apples are so pink and tasty. And that high fruit, always thought it couldn't be picked since it was just above the Cullerton peaches. Climb, Rico, climb. Joining us today is my friend and colleague, the Chicago Tribune's federal building reporter, Jason Meisner, who along with Gregory Pratt and Ray Long and many others has been leading in this case, ever-expanding Racketeering Influence Corruption Organization Act case that's just freaking the hell out of the Illinois political class because Rico drives the bus and Rico isn't interested in the low-hanging fruit. He's going after the Madigan apples. So pink, so tasty. Here with me, as always, is Jeff Carlin, executive producer of The Rocon Show with Anna DeVellante. And me, I'm John Cass, husband, father, taxpayer of Illinois, Stan, a columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and member of that newspaper's great editorial board. And you know where you are? With Rico climbing the tree, all the guys in How You Doin' Land worried about who's wired up and who's next, and who's a federal snitch and who's not? You're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
And joining us now, as I said, is Jason Meisner, the federal building reporter from the Chicago Tribune, my friend and colleague, and also the guy who's basically leading all this great coverage that you're reading about in the paper and that, you know, radio hosts rip and read as if they discovered it themselves. Jason, good morning.
Morning, guys.
We haven't spent a lot of time together lately. We're supposed to go out for pork shanks and cigars at JC's Pub in McCook, so you can further your reporting on all this. But do you ever watch Homeland?
I have not watched Homeland, no.
The premise is that a manic depressive CIA agent who gets really obsessed about conspiracies and characters and criminals, and she's got this crazy board on her wall, you know, with yarn and photographs and newspaper clippings. And the yarn goes here and there and here and there based on, you know, the pins she puts in the wall. It's rather quite confusing. And I'm thinking, do we need a crazy board so that we can understand what's going on in the federal investigation of all these politicians lately?
I think that's not a bad idea. We're going to need a lot of yarn because it does seem to be going off in so many different directions that it kind of makes your head spin. Just Monday, I was looking forward to catching up with you, maybe going out and getting some nice lunch. That's when word dropped that Representative Louis Arroyo was upstairs in a courtroom about to appear on corruption charges. He had turned himself in quietly, and all heck broke loose after that. So that's the latest in what has become a, I don't even know how to describe it anymore, a sprawling web of various investigations, Chicago, the suburbs, Springfield, senators, aldermen, and it keeps going.
Power companies, mayors, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, power. Yeah, one of the utility giants of the United States.
What is it called again, the name of that place? It's Exelon or ComEd. What is it?
ComEd. Is
ComEd,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
ComEd right. And Exelon have received subpoenas regarding their lobbying practices. Some of their top officials have quietly resigned and are under investigation, and that's a whole separate area of investigation apart from the stuff that's going on with Arroyo and the suburbs. It's just a lot of different avenues are being explored.
It's almost like you could call it, for purposes of this discussion, I'll just allow it because I'm the managing editor of the Chicago Way, you could call it Madigan Electric.
Yeah, as we've reported, there's a revolving door. My colleague Ray Long is just, he's working overtime on this one because all these guys have been around for so long that he knows a lot of them. They've gone and become elected officials and then leave and become lucrative lobbyists for ComEd and all these sweet deals. And that's what's under investigation, essentially, this revolving door where, of course, it's legal until it's not, until there's a quid pro quo or somebody's paying somebody for official action in Springfield. And that is what is under investigation. And it's got a lot of people kind of gone underground into hiding, including Ann Premaggiore, the former CEO of ComEd. I mean, this is like big time. These are big time people. She's one of the top businesswomen in the entire state. And some of
country.
Entire country and some of her top henchmen have resigned and are under investigation, as we've reported. Then he had the raid on the City Club of Chicago and its boss, who's also a ComEd lobbyist, and that was back in May. So,
full disclosure, yeah. Jay Doherty is the president of the City Club. I've been on the City Club panels many times. I go there. Actually, they had a pretty interesting conversation the other day with Scott Wagspak talking about city finances. I find, you know, what's interesting about these investigations, and they're so big, and to me personally, it seems like it's a RICO investigation, is that City Club gets dinged, you know? So reporters and journalists write, you know, the City Club investigation, and I wonder, I don't know, they haven't been charged with anything either, have they?
No, and they said they're not a target, and we don't, you know, we have no reason to believe that the City Club is a target. Just that there were records there that the feds were interested in involving this ComEd investigation. And I think I forgot to mention, because as you started mentioning, why is it called Madigan Electric? Well, because so many of these people came up underneath and served as representatives under in Springfield and are Madigan guys. So so that he's definitely, some of the raids that have taken place as part of that investigation involve, as you know, his some of his close confidants, Mike McLean down in Quincy, and former Alderman Zalewski, and also Kevin Quinn, the brother of Alderman Marty Quinn.
That's Alderman Marty Quinn, affidavit, you know, affidavits man, right? On the affidavit issue of Mr.
Krupa. It's a whole separate investigation.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's another one.
Shenanigans during the election.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, and I believe that Madigan's son, although he hasn't been charged with anything, is also, or let's put it this way, one of the, I guess if you're a critic of Madigan, you would say rackets. If you're a supporter of Madigan, you would say public service. But whatever it is, Mesro Financial and its other partners that Madigan, that young Madigan is involved in, do a lot of business with municipalities. Is that also being looked at?
We don't think so. The Tribune ran stories on that probably 6 or 7 years ago, I want to say. We reported on, yeah, Madigan's son and Mesro scooping up insurance deals with these municipalities that are now under investigation. But we have no information, nothing on the subpoenas or search warrants that have come out that indicate that that's under investigation. But it is another way that, you know, everybody makes money. Everybody's making their money somehow. And that's certainly one.
We are speaking with Jason Meisner, the federal building reporter at the Chicago Tribune. I don't know, is that the right title, Jason? Federal building reporter? I know that's...
Federal courts reporter.
Right.
That's what's on my card.
Oh, that's right. You have cards. I wish I had some. And your Twitter handle?
At JMETR22B.
And you can follow him there or go on, you know, just read the Chicago Tribune online because it's such a great newspaper or in print. I know this, that while you speak, Jason, there are operatives that I know who are listening carefully for any kind of hint that they might be able to use to help themselves or their friends. You know this, right? That people who are in the business of politics are quite, I don't know, they read tea leaves constantly, don't they?
They are interested in what's going on. You call people and everyone's wondering what's going on, what's coming next. Seems like things come out daily. Who's wired up? I talked to one veteran defense attorney yesterday who said, and he's been around probably 30 or 40 years, Gray Lord, everything. He does not remember a time where there have been more wiretaps up and running involving, you know, usually it's drugs, narcotics investigations. Every once in a while you get a wiretap in a political case. They've got at least half a dozen that we know of, and he says probably many more. And he can't remember time ever in his career that this has been going on such a widespread scale.
Now, how many have you identified publicly wiretaps?
Well, of course, the big one is the Solis Solis affidavit, they had a wiretap on Solis. And then
that is former alderman, 25th ward alderman Danny Happy Endings Solis, correct?
Danny Solis, right? For at least a couple of years, they were recording him, and then you got the we might call it the big tuna, the wiretap on Burke, Solis recording Burke and presumably other people for a long time, and that has led to the charges that just came out against Arroyo on Monday. That's another wiretap where the person who's recording them is a state senator who we've reported is Terry Link from Lake County. So there's three big ones right there. And you have a state senator recording other politicians, and that can only imagine what's going through the minds of certain people in Springfield who now have this knowledge. Like, maybe I was recorded. I have no idea.
Not only in Springfield, but maybe, you know, like, I would just say, Jason, one thing I would, you know, if you were still with me as my leg man and you're one of the great leg men in history, I would say, why don't you go out to Rosemont, to Carmine's, you know, in Rosemont, and just sit there, order a nice fish salad, you know, and see what the guys are saying, you know?
How you doing?
I gotta think that the how you doing boys, some of them are nervous now.
How you doing? How's she doing?
Hey, how you doing, kid?
How you doing?
How you doing, Manny?
How you doing?
How you doing? How you doing?
Doing all right.
You know, business aside, I mean the news aside, just take us through, if you could, what happened. You know, we were going to go to lunch, hopefully, that day. We're going to go to that cigar lounge that the Sun-Times blew up and kind of ruined it for everybody. I still go there. And because that was part of the investigation.
Now you can't find parking because there are paneled vans everywhere outside.
Bunch of Irish guys from Boston College in white vans. I feel like I'm in...
Nowhere to park.
It feels like you're in Bridgeview. But
and none of them smoke cigars.
No, they don't. They run, you know, in the morning.
All right.
But take us through. Okay, so you're thinking about doing that. Like, maybe it's going to be a nice day. Maybe not a nice day, but a kind of relatively easy day. And then all of a sudden you hear Representative Arroyo is in court upstairs pleading. Or not pleading, but being, what is it, arraignment?
What? It was his initial appearance in a rather unusual situation. He'd actually been arrested Friday, but allowed to, they let him go and said, you got to come back to court for your initial appearance on Monday. So they were able to do that quietly. I believe he, you know, had an arrangement to turn himself in with his attorney, Mike Gillespie. And then the Monday morning, we get word there's new charges coming. So stick around, basically, I was told. And then I found out that it was a state rep, and he's actually here in the building. So I ran up to the duty courtroom, the magistrate, and walked in, and I said, he was sitting there. And I've never covered Springfield, so I don't instantly recognize guys like him. But I knew he was somebody, so I started basically Googling photos of Chicago state reps, and sure enough, we had kind of thought it might be him, so I said, there he is, and stepped outside, and we were able to break the news that he was charged in a bribery scheme. And then when the court started, about 10 minutes later, it came out that a state senator had been recording him, essentially bribing the senator for his help in legislation involving this kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, shady world of sweepstakes machines. Nobody knows what the heck these things really do. They're not regulated, they're not taxed, and it's kind of like a an end around the you know, the laws that are in place that they promised would keep video gambling legit. And so he's been involved in that world as a lobbyist.
We've got to go out, you and me, to Addison and watch some of those Queen of Hearts games and see how that works. This is a Chicago way, so I let people know what, you know,
things out there. Those who know, and those who don't should learn. But what did it feel like personally? Like you have your day planned, and then you hear, you know, when you scramble, what's the press room like at the federal building when you have to scramble?
It was a crazy day in Chicago to begin with. Donald Trump was arriving. The teachers are on strike. It was going to be a big news day. So the federal building was actually kind of quiet. I think all reporters were off doing other things. And then all hell broke loose. Once the charges start getting tweeted out, people started arriving. And then it just goes from there, because you get this complaint. It's only 13 pages, but it's packed with all sorts of conversations between Arroyo and the state senator and individual A and company B. And you spend the rest of your day trying to piece everything together. And of course, he came out a couple hours later. He had to go get processed by the marshals, and came out in his white baseball hat and didn't have any comment. But when charges drop like that, that's your day.
And Jason, so I was following it, but lay it out for me. The state senator comes to him and says, we're going to give you, if you can make this happen, you'll get $2,500 a month, essentially. But how is that working? I mean, it almost sounds like entrapment if it's a senator's wired, state senator's wired up and off, or they're working this deal out. How does it, I mean, do we have any more backstory on why he was wired up?
I think, according to the complaint, a backstory on why senator, who we reported as Link, is wired up? No, but there's a very interesting footnote in the complaint that says CW1, that's the senator, that stands for complaining witness, has started cooperating. He's a cooperating source for the FBI back in 2016, and it does not say why. Why was he cooperating back then? That's a million-dollar question right there. Then they terminated him as a source because it came to light that he had filed false tax returns, according to this footnote. And then in order to get out from under that, or get some leniency there, with the understanding that he was going to be charged with tax fraud, the senator started cooperating again. And that's when he wired up on Arroyo, who had come to him in the spring session this year with this asking for assistance in the sweepstakes gaming legislation. And then it turned into this bribery scheme in August, just a couple months ago, where they met at a restaurant in Highland Park. Senator's wearing a wire, and Arroyo starts talking about paying him $2,500 a month for his help. And then he actually did hand over a $2,500 check a few weeks later at a different restaurant, all being recorded by the FBI. So that is the alleged bribery right there.
And according to the complaint, there was the federal documents, there was an interesting quote. What was it again?
Oh, he said, this is the jackpot, when he handed the check over, which is, I guess, on a par with Did We Land the Tuna, which is now the famous quote from the Burke investigation, not to be outdone by the police case, which is, what's the quote there? I like Asian.
I like Asian girls. And which yeah. was,
I mean,
yeah, you can't get anything better than I like Asian girls. But then every day it's the tuna is good, and now it's the jackpot. You can't beat it. Jason, one thing, I'm just reading a tweet you just sent out. Obviously, this will be later for people who are listening to this. Why are the feds interested in Crestwood Mayor Lou Presta's expense reimbursement as part of a wide-ranging corruption investigation? Says Jason Meisner. Quote, you've got the million-dollar question. I don't know, Presta told Joe Maher, the Tribune, in this scoop. It just never stops, does it?
That was this morning. Joe Maher, who works out in the suburbs for us, turned up an interesting subpoena for records from Lou Presta's. They were asking for documentation of checks he received, like 27,000 in total. And it turns out it's a lot of mileage reimbursement. And they also sent calendar, his calendars showing, like today I drove around Crestwood, and he would bill taxpayers for like 80 miles. Crestwood is only 3 miles. Like it's three miles across. So did he drive back and forth? I don't know. 50 times? We don't know. But they subpoenaed it. And then there's because his calendars are in there, you can see like, oh, today I drove to McCook for a meeting with Jeff Tobolsky, who we know is under investigation, or I had lunch at Palermo's in Oakland with Mike Madigan. Mike Madigan denied that he ever had lunch with that the lunch ever happened, but it was on his calendar.
I've seen
at Palermo's.
I've seen Mike Madigan at Palermo's. I've seen him with Lou Viverito. How you doing? He likes Palermo's. He does.
Yeah.
I remember telling Ray Long at the Tribune. Ray was like, oh, you know, he's asking for a name. I had a name. And I gave it to him. And I said, where are you guys going stopping for lunch? And he said, I don't know. I said, you got to go to Palermo's 95th. You might run into Madigan. And
yeah. You
know what he did? Ray, he went to Nick and Vito's instead. Fine pizza establishment. Not Madigan's favorite. So I'm cutting Ray off from my restaurant.
The Castle Restaurant Cookbook.
But
So the Madigan thing, so that's what is driving me crazy in this. So we had the Sandoval thing come down a few weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, you know, and everyone's like, well, kind of slow dragging. You know, he shouldn't resign. Let's see where this goes. Let's see what happens. You know, yada, yada, yada. And then the Arroyo thing, and everyone's like, Madigan's, everyone's like, oh, he's got to go. Got to go. He's out. We don't know. He's terrible. Yeah. He's the wrong person to be running anything. How dare he? And it's just like, what? Wait a minute. What's going on there?
Well, the main difference they point out is that Arroyo is charged and Sandoval is not. But yeah, I mean, when the feds come in and raid your office, and then people turn around and say, like, well, we don't know what's going on. It kind of seems like a criminal investigation. I think it is. The FBI doesn't investigate anything other than crimes.
They don't buy butcher paper unless they have something.
Actually, the brown butcher paper.
They're not looking to file a lawsuit, put it that way.
They go retro with the brown butcher paper. I always used white in our butcher shop, but brown, it's kind of like...
Yeah. It is cost saving, you know. It's not bleach.
Jason, one thing that Jeff reminds me of when he brings up Madigan and all this. Madigan had a quote in one of your stories, I'm not a target or something. What was that?
Yeah, he was reacting to the situation with Arroyo, and it was also asked about I think he was responding to a question about the recent raid on the City Club. Saying because it's been reported that they were looking for records about Madigan, and he was saying, "I'm not a target. I'm not a target." Is what he said.
Just so everybody listening to Jason speak should know that when we just started talking about the "I am not a target" comment, Jeff Carlin started making notes because he's going to look for that sound for Rokan and Anna, and maybe for this podcast as well. I'm sure he did it in a news conference, right?
That was in a news conference, yeah. He issued a statement saying he was going to start the process of removing Arroyo from office. And then I believe that was comments to reporters in Springfield who were all down there for the start of the veto session, which was supposed to be quiet, kind of a dull veto session, I heard. And now this has just set everybody in a tizzy.
Could you?
Senator Link, I should mention that Link, since we've reported that he is the cooperator in the Arroyo investigation. He has flatly denied it. He denied it on Monday when we first asked him that we had heard it might be him. Then we heard it definitely was him, 100%. And so we went to him again, and he denied it again. And then he called up Dave McKinney from WBEZ on Monday night and not only denied it, but like just emphatically saying he doesn't know what the heck anybody's talking about. So he continues to deny it. And sometimes it's also reported that he is CW1 in the Arroyo investigation.
I guess there's one way to check, and that is if someone invites Terry Link to Chinatown for spaghetti dinner at midnight, and maybe he wouldn't go, or maybe he'd go. I don't know.
This better be good. I was taking my kid fishing.
Ah, Jesus, what? No, how you been? How's it doing, Ben? What do you think?
I thought we understood each other, right? I don't give two shits about you. Now, what's so important you take me away from my boat?
Pumping Sarah.
Pussy? What about him?
He's wired for sound.
What?
I got it from a good source. I thought you should know. All right? I'm sorry. I know you like him.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does, Tom, if you take the blinders off.
Why would he do it?
Why? Because he's facing a possible sentence of from now on. Mandatory. That's why. Come on, I know a lot of guys who can't do that kind of time. Who is this guy Pussy, huh? Who is he? He's a man who loves his family above all else. Well, guess what? That's their favorite target.
So many people wearing wires, so many politicians wearing wires. How do you think they react? What kind of shockwaves does that send through people, through groups?
I can imagine when you're a politician who talks to people all day long, obviously when you read the quotes, they assume they're not being recorded. And there's actually a moment in the Royal complaint where they step away from the table where there's this businessman, and they go outside. This is all, you know, the FBI is watching this. And Arroyo says, hey, this is just you and me talking now. And so then that's when they really start talking about how much money are we going to make off of this. And that's what you get, obviously, when it's an undercover recording, when people don't know they're being recorded. And then when it comes out, minds start racing. When did I talk to so-and-so, Danny Solis? What did I say? Language, coarse language, embarrassing language, obviously is going to be on there, possibly. And people start getting worried about what could come out.
You know, when he says, I like Asian girls, what do you say? Women are from Mars, men are from Venus or something? What do you say?
I love Lamp. Yeah. I love Lamp.
That's I love Lamp.
Had some big ones in Chicago, as you know, the microphone and the flower vase or whatever it is, and that's when they are able to get beyond the veneer and get down to what people are actually talking about. That's really the only way to do it. So the fact that they have so many wires up and running and a political investigation, I'm sure, has a lot of people understandably worried.
The former special agent in charge of the FBI in Chicago, you did a story on him as he left, but I believe he was expert in RICO, taking down the Bananos in New York, right?
He did. And he liked to put together cases. He was a street guy, which that's why it was surprising that he left. He was basically called to Washington, D.C. I think he would rather have stayed in Chicago, but on his way out, he told me, I think he used the word, things are about to go overt. He used the word overt when I asked him about what's going on with these political investigations. He said there's been a lot going on behind the scenes, and the public is about to see a lot more. And man, was he right. It's like, ever since he said that, it's been one thing after another.
That was my favorite part, because I was seeing that, you're like, buckle up, here it comes.
He was basically saying that, obviously he couldn't comment specifically, but yeah, he was basically sending a warning to us, like, you're going to get ready, you're going to be busy.
You're going to miss lunch, but sooner or later, we're going to take that lunch, JC's Pub for the pork shanks asabuco, and a cigar at, my favorite cigar lounge, and you'll have more local color to report on. Jason Meisner.
I'll take you up on that.
Jason Meisner, you can follow him, Chicago Tribune reporter covering the Dirksen U.S. Courthouse in Chicago. You may follow him on Twitter at JMETR22B. Follow him, because you know why? Every wise guy and political weasel in town is following him. So you might as well learn what it's like on the Chicago way. Thanks, Jason Meisner.
Thanks, Jason.
See you, buddy.
Shocking? Yes, it is. But this is what happens when the Goon Army invades the Windy City. When State and Sin Streets become headquarters for the world's dirtiest racket. B-girls, gambling, unions, the mob puts its dirty hands on everything and starts squeezing.
When Tony Soprano learned that his friend was wired up, that really bothered him, as you know. And it probably bothers a lot of politicians that reportedly Terry Link, former state senator, is wired up. Alderman Danny Solis was wired up. Several more wires are out there. This thing is going crazy. and Rico drives the bus, and it's in the orchard, and he's climbing up the tree to find the tiny Madigan apples that are so sweet and tasty and pink at the top. Thanks to Jason Meisner of the Chicago Tribune for being here talking with us about this amazing Racketeering Influence Corruption Act investigation the FBI and the IRS are doing, RICO. And of course, Jeff Carlin of WGN AM Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis. And me, I'm John Cass, husband, father, taxpayer, columnist at the Chicago Tribune, member of its August editorial board. And you know where you are with RICO climbing the tree? And a lot of guys freaking out about who's wired and what did they say? You're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.